Wednesday, 5 p.m., time for American Hit Radio. WHPC 90.3 FM is the station, of course, coming to you from Garden City, New York.
Yeah. Once you figure it out, you can tell them.
I got here somehow. It's a force of habit. I'm Tom Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host Heidi Morales with me as well. And we're going to do what we've been doing on Wednesdays for a number of shows now. We're calling the Alternative Top 40, or 500 Great Albums That Never Made the Top 40.
It's AKA. Our
way. Yeah. It's our way of basically paying tribute to great records that have gone on to some recognition, but at the time of their release didn't quite get what they deserved. Some of them are now seen clearly as classics, although they weren't recognized at their time, while others still remain obscure. This is our 34th show in this series. They're all chronological. We're doing them in the order in which they were released. We started in 1964, and we're going to just run right on through them, right on up to we hit the number 500 sometime near the present. That'll be, what, 10 years from now?
I don't know. So, I hope we make it.
I got them all lined up, so we're good to go. But this is show number 34, and it finds us in December of 1967. The album is the debut record by Leonard Cohen called Songs
Awesome.
Of Leonard Cohen. This album is able to qualify for our list, Heidi, because it only went to number 83 on the charts in America. Do you use it?
It was a sleeper, right?
Well, yeah.
You might call it.
Put it this way. It was released in December of 1967. It did not go gold until, which is to say that it, you know, earned $1 million worth of sales.
Right.
Until 1989.
Wow.
It took 22 years for
it
this
had a resurgence.
Well, it kind of never went away is really
right.
The truth of it. It came up. It was a sleeper. People who were, you know, in the know, cool, poetic types, you know, the learned part of the music world might have been familiar with Leonard Cohen. And it took a while for the rest of us to catch on. I certainly was not among them. His music was clearly not aimed at the 10 and under crowd, you know, which is where I was in 1967. But the fact of the matter is, Leonard Cohen was writing songs that were very, very heavy. It was very unusual for 1967. This is at a time, of course, when psychedelic music was ruling. The music and a lot of songs were complex. Lyrics were normally, though, very opaque, not necessarily confessional or in terms of, like, basically, poetry did not seem to be deeply important, especially since Bob Dylan, who was the most casual of poets, really, had more or less vanished from the scene after releasing Blonde on Blonde. So there was this gap, and Leonard Cohen, being the literate person that he is, just had a bunch of songs that he started to record. And it was almost a bit of a coincidence that worked out, because he really started out as a poet. He had written a number of books collections of poetry, I think would be the best way to put it. And they had been published, you know, living in Canada. Most of them were published under, you know, Canadian imprints. They received some reasonably positive reviews. And sometime after that, he actually started to release novels. But while the novels were released, he was playing guitar. He was learning to play some folk guitar, learning to play even some a little bit of like classical, like almost Spanish-style guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And he was taking some of his poetry and writing songs, and he just figured, why not? Let's play a track, and we can talk a little bit more about how Cohen came to the scene. But let's play the very first song from his very first album. This is probably one of the most popular, as it turns out, one of the most popular songs he'd ever written, also covered often by a good number of people. It's called Suzanne.
Suzanne takes you down to her place near the river. You can hear the boats go by, you can spend the night beside her, and you know that she's half crazy, but that's why you wanna be there. And she feeds you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. And just when you mean to tell her that you have no love to give her, then she gets you on her wavelength. And she lets the river answer that you've always been her lover. And you want to travel with her, and you want to travel blind, and you know that she will trust you, for you've touched her perfect body with your mind. And Jesus was a sailor when he walked upon the water, and he spent a long time watching from his lonely wooden tower. And when he knew for certain only drowning men could see him, he said, all men will be sailors then until the sea shall free them. But he himself was broken long before the sky would open. Forsaken, almost human, he sank beneath your wisdom like a stone. And you want to travel with him, and you want to travel blind, and trust him, for he's touched your perfect body with his mind. Now Suzanne takes your hand and she leads you to the river. She is wearing rags and feathers from the Salvation Army counter, and the sun pours down like honey. Our Lady of the Harbor, and she shows you where to look among the garbage and the flowers. There are heroes in the seaweed, there are children in the morning, they are leaning out for love, and they will lean that way forever while Suzanne holds the mirror. Travel with her, and you want to travel blind, and you know you can trust her, for she's touched your perfect body with her mind.
For me, there's something about that song that just seems to grow and grow and grow in terms of the imagery that it plants in my head. After all, I mean, it's going on nearly 50 years now in age, and we've heard it covered by Judy Collins, Neil Diamond, the Lord knows how many other people, and it just, I don't know, it's taken on a life of its own, and it just seems as though it is. Timeless is one word, but it's interesting because it goes back to, like, I'm reading like the first couple of paragraphs of the liner notes of the re-release of the debut album, which happened about maybe, I don't know, a number of years ago anyway, five or six perhaps. And I think the opening paragraphs are worth reading. If Leonard Cohen had only recorded this extraordinary debut album and then disappeared, his stature as one of the most gifted songwriters of our time would still be secure. Released nearly 40 years ago, there you go, how old this collection is.
It's fantastic.
In December of 1967, Songs of Leonard Cohen remains startling for its confidence, its absolute artistic assurance. Some debuts are validated by an artist's later work, the depth and power of their songs revealed only by subsequent events and the passage of time. Others are betrayed by posterity, their promise shown to be a lie, or more generously, a misunderstanding, a form of wishful thinking whose wish was never granted. But uniquely, Songs of Leonard Cohen remains exactly as forceful and surprising as it was four decades ago. It immediately seemed like a work of major importance by a daunting new talent back then, and that perception has more than been borne out. Its 10 songs were entirely contemporary and strangely outside time, ancient without seeming what we would now call retro, and also visionary intimations of the future.
It's true. It's almost like they're words preserved in amber.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just it. A song is, in a sense, exactly that. And you really can't go back and do anything to it. I mean, you can re-record it if you want, but
right.
once it's put down, it's
well,
there.
And many people did, as you pointed out.
Exactly.
And a lot of times, you can almost change the meaning of a song just by the inflection on a syllable. But
you see that with some interpretations.
Right.
I would imagine that's probably very true with Cohen's songs, because what's interesting is like his songs are sung by men and women,
right.
and they almost never change, you know, the sex of the characters at all. They just usually don't play with it; just let it stand.
Oh, I'm
going
to have to do
is.
A study on that now.
Yeah, it's just something that I'm coming to think of it. I'm like, yeah, people don't turn around the genders in his songs. He himself talked about the struggle of writing that song in particular. This is Leonard Cohen's words here. The writing of Suzanne, like all my songs, took a long time. I wrote most of it in Montreal, all of it in Montreal, over the space of perhaps 4 or 5 months. I had many, many verses to it. Sometimes the song would go off on a tangent, and you'll have perfectly respectable verses, but that have led you away from the original feel of the song. So it's a matter of coming back. It's a very painful process because you have to throw away a lot of good stuff, as I'm sure that he did on this.
Oh, wow. Can only imagine what ended up on the cutting room floor, so to speak.
Right. Well, here's the next track on the album. This is called Winter Lady.
I believe that you heard your master sing when I was sick in bed. I suppose that he told you everything that I keep locked away in my head. Your master took you traveling. Well, at least that's what you said. And now do you come back to bring your prisoner wine and bread? You met him at some temple where they'd take your clothes at the door. He was just an umberless man in a chair who'd just come back from the war. And you wrap up his tired face in your hair, and he hands you the apple core. Then he touches your lips, now so suddenly bare of all the kisses we put on some time before. And he gave you a German shepherd to walk with a collar of leather and nails. And he never once made you explain or talk about all of the little detail, such as who had a worm and who had a rock and who had you through the mails. Now your love is a secret all over the block, and it never stops, not even when your master fails. And he took you up in his airplane, which he flew without any hands. And you cruised above the ribbons of rain that drove the crowd from the stands. Then he killed the lights in a lonely lane and an ape with angel glands. He erased the final wisps of pain with the music. Rubber band. And now I hear your master sing. You kneel for him to come. His body is a golden string that your body is hanging from. His body is is a golden string. My body has grown numb. Oh, now you hear your master sing. Your shirt is all undone. And will you kneel beside this bed that we polished so long ago, before your master chose instead to make my bed of snow? Your eyes are wild and your knuckles are red, and you're speaking far too low. No, I can't make out what your master said before he made you go. And I think you're playing far too rough for a lady who's been to the moon. I've lain by this window long enough. You get used to an empty room, and your love is some dust in an old man's cuff who is tapping his foot to a tune. And your thighs are ruined, you want too much. Let's say you came back sometime too soon. I loved your master perfectly. I taught him all that he knew. He was starving in some deep mystery, like a man who is sure what is true. And I sent you to him with my guarantee I could teach him something new. And I taught him how you would long for me, no matter what he said. I believe that you heard your master sing while I was sick in bed. I'm sure that he told you everything I must keep locked away in my head. Your master took you traveling. Well, at least that's what you said. And now do you come back to bring your prisoner wine and bread?
You know, I could have probably played that song three times in a row. I apologize for announcing the wrong title. My eyes just went straight to the wrong line. I should have known better. That, of course, was not Winter Lady. That was Master Song. And it's such a masterful piece of work,
yeah,
lyrically, that it's stunning. I mean, honestly, I think you could just play that song seven or eight times in a row and just have different images come into your head.
Put it on repeat.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so, it covers the complexity of human emotions in so many different levels that it's, and it's so easy to, it's interpretable. It doesn't have to be deeply one thing, I don't think, in any sense. The reason I think the record has so much power was probably because he was a little bit outside of what was considered standard for 1967. When this record came out, he was already 33 years old. And this is at a time when people were saying, you know, the younger generation was saying, were wearing buttons that said, don't trust anybody over 30. You know, it's his debut album, and he already is. So right. In a sense, he was old by pop music standards, and he was standing in this really interesting position of being on the inside enough to grasp what was happening politically and I guess psychologically with the younger generation, but he was also intelligent enough to be removed from the naive grandiosity of it all. You know, he was like able to basically observe it, let it filter, and then think about it. And it wasn't so much passion as it was, you know, a well-worn thought pattern that eventually was...
like a comfortable pair of shoes.
Was displayed, yeah. Well, I mentioned this song already, so now comes its time. I apologize for before, but now we hear Winter Lady.
Traveling lady, stay a while until the night is over. I'm just a station on your way. I know I'm not your lover. Well, I live with a child of snow when I was a soldier, and I fought every man for her until the nights grew colder. She used to wear her hair like you, except when she was sleeping, and then she'd weave it on a loom of smoke and gold and breathing. And why are you so quiet now, standing there in the doorway? You chose your journey long before you came upon this highway. Traveling lady, stay a while until the night is over. Just a station on your way. I know I'm not your lover.
One of the more direct relationship songs on the album called Winter Lady. We are playing songs from the debut album by Leonard Cohen, simply called Songs of Leonard Cohen. An album that, in its time, never rose any higher than number 83 on the Billboard album charts, but remains quite obviously one of the most classic albums of any era, which is exactly why we are including it in our series, which we are calling the Alternative Top 40, our opportunity to pretty much play great music that didn't really get much airplay in its time. And this is really to be said, this album really didn't get much airplay.
No. It's definitely something that made its way through word of mouth, I should imagine, more so.
Yeah, it's like a college campus album, I think, that I must have missed because I was too young for that. But you weren't hearing it on rock and roll radio because it's much too much of a folk-driven album. And it's way too intelligent for what would have been happening on AM, so that wouldn't have even been remotely possible.
Not a chance,
kids. Right, not even a possibility there. It's funny, too. I mean, it was sad in some ways. He basically, this being his first album, he was new to the business, and it turns out that he had even lost the publishing rights to a good number of the songs that are on this record.
Really?
Yeah, in his own words, he said, "Someone smarter than me got me to sign the publishing over to them. I lost Suzanne, Stranger Song, and Dress Rehearsal Rag, because I finally got them back years later, but I lost a lot of money." It's really sad, but that's exactly how the music business works, unfortunately.
Yeah, unscrupulous.
In that and in this day and age. Well, here's another song that I think really pays off some intense listening to the lyrics of this track. I think it's one of the more enigmatic songs on the entire collection. And it's a collection of very enigmatic songs. This one is called The Stranger Song.
It's true that all the men you knew were dealers who said they were through with dealing every time you gave them shelter. I know that kind of man. It's hard to hold the hand of anyone who's reaching for the sky just to surrender. Who is reaching for the sky just to surrender. And then sweeping up the jokers that he left behind, you find he did not leave you very much, not even laughter. Like any dealer, he was watching for the card that is so high and wild, he'll never need to deal another. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. And then leaning on your windowsill, he'll say one day you caused his will to weaken with your love and warmth and shelter. And then taking from his wallet an old schedule of trains, he'll say, I told you when I came I was a stranger. I told you when I came I was a stranger. But now another stranger seems to want you to ignore his dreams as though they were the burden of some other. Oh, you've seen that man before, his golden arm dispatching cards, but now it's rusted from the elbow to the finger. And he wants to trade the game he plays for shelter. Yes, he wants to trade the game he knows for shelter. Oh, you hate to watch another tired man lay down his hand like he was giving up the holy game of poker. And while he talks his dreams to sleep, you notice there's a highway that is curling up like smoke above his shoulder. It's curling just like smoke above his shoulder. You tell him to come in, sit down, but something makes you turn around. The door is open, you can't close your shelter. You try the handle of the road, it opens. Do not be afraid, it's you, my love, you who are the stranger. It is you, my love, you who are the stranger. Well, I've been waiting, I was sure we'd meet between the trains we're waiting for. I think it's time to board another. Please understand, I never had a secret chart to get me to the heart of this or any other matter. Well, he talks like this, you don't know what he's after. When he speaks like this, you don't know what he's after. Let's meet tomorrow if you choose upon the shore beneath the bridge that they are building on some endless river. Then he leaves the platform for the sleeping car that's warm. You realize he's only advertising one more shelter. And it comes to you, he never was a stranger. And you say, okay, the bridge or someplace later. And then sweeping up the jokers that he left behind, you find he did not leave you very much, not even laughter. Like any dealer, he was watching for the card that is so high and wild, he'll never need to deal another. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. And leaning on your windowsill, he'll say one day you caused his will to weaken with your love and warmth and shelter. And then taking from his wallet an old schedule of trains, he'll say, I told you when I came I was a stranger. I told you when I came I was a stranger. I told you when I came I was a stranger.
It still makes me wish that I had a better understanding of, like, really good poetry.
To me, it's like the ultimate breakup song.
In a way, I hear that because to me, what I hear, and we should compare notes in that sense. I'm very curious as to what you think. It seems like it's about love, but then it seems very much like it's about being ostracized and being alone, or it's about the things that you think you know becoming a mystery.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's all about, like, you know, like, all, and even like the use of the train to convey this sense of like time and distance, as if it's something that's pulling away from you while you think you know it and it's right there before you, but
and you've taken in this person and they've taken advantage of you or you feel taken advantage of, and then all of a sudden they're leaving.
It's very, obviously it's quite heavy, because you could just go on and line for line, it just ends up being just like a beautifully sad poem.
Yes.
With gorgeous guitar work, by the way. He's an excellent guitar player.
Yeah, I'm like, you were saying at the beginning that he was just learning how to play. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, at this point in time,
he's a good beginner.
he didn't have a tremendous. In fact, when he first recorded this album, he was very uncomfortable because he felt like a total novice in the studio. They brought in a bassist named Willie Ruff, and he got along with him really well. But then as things had gone on, he was signed by John Hammond, the same man responsible for everybody from Bruce Springsteen to Bob Dylan to Billy Joel, going all the way back to, to the big band people that he had signed. And then he brings in Leonard Cohen, but he had fallen ill, so he was no longer able to produce the record. So when he dropped out, a different producer came in, and Cohen and the new producer were constantly at odds because Cohen wanted to keep the record incredibly simple, and he never really felt comfortable among the professional musicians that were being brought in.
That's tough.
The studio cats.
It's tough when you have one vision for your art and someone else is trying to impose their
something else on it. What you're hearing on this record actually is exactly that, because what you're hearing is production that was beginning to get elaborate and Cohen wanted to strip it down. But it was recorded on four tracks. So there were instances where you could not remove certain parts because certain things were blended and mixed together onto one of the remaining tracks. And once you do that, you can't take off one thing without losing the other. So some of it Cohen had to learn to live with. And quite frankly, I mean, in my opinion, I might have been a happy accident, because I think that it's kind of nice to hear the little strange touches.
It's what we know, so.
Right, exactly. You learn to know it this way, and it's like it becomes what you're familiar with anyway. So anything less would have been would seem too simple to us now. And maybe anything more would seem ornate. It seems like it came sort of managed to be just the right amount of touches on the fringes of the production, of the song itself, to help add to it. This next track's got an interesting story that Cohen talks about. It's called Sisters of Mercy. And in his own words, this is what he says. Sisters of Mercy had been written in Edmonton during a snowstorm, and I took refuge in an office lobby. There were two young backpackers there, Barbara and Lorraine, and they had nowhere to go. I asked them back to my hotel room, and they immediately got into the bed and crashed while I sat in the armchair watching them sleep. I knew they had given me something, and by the time they woke up, I had finished the song, and I played it to them. Here's that song, Sisters of Mercy.
All the sisters of mercy, they are not departed or gone. They were waiting for me when I thought that I just can't go on. And they brought me their comfort, and later they brought me this song. Run into them, you who've been traveling so long. Yes, you who must leave everything that you cannot control. It begins with your family, but soon it comes round to your soul. Well, I've been where you're hanging, I think I can see how you're pinned. When you're not feeling holy, your loneliness says that you've sinned. Touched both my eyes. as a leaf that the seasons tear off and condemn. They will bind you with love that is graceful and green as a stem. If I hear that they sweeten your night. We weren't lovers like that, and besides, it would still be all right. We weren't lovers like that, and besides, it would still be all right.
Just seems so beautiful to take a simple moment and turn it into something as gorgeous as that. And yet,
it's my fantasy to live life like art. And I think that's what he did. He saw art in everything, even the simplest of things, like someone sleeping.
I think that is the exact gorgeous beauty of this album. It is basically showing how you could basically take, you know, something which would be an ordinary situation, perhaps an ordinary conversation, find a subtext in it, and then find the subtext of the subtext, in a sense, which is your emotional reaction to what is really happening underneath the surface, and find how it splinters in many different directions. And you can follow that, and you can do it in a succinct manner, which is obviously, it's impossible for me to do. I wouldn't have a clue where to begin. I probably used more words to even to describe the, you know, what how it would work than he manages to basically do by culling it down and making it, it just boils it down to such
perfect
rawness. And yet in its time, I mean, it was not understood. Check out, this is like Rolling Stone gave it a review. I can't read the whole thing because some of the language, but according to it, when it was released, they wrote, there are three brilliant songs, one good one, three qualified bummers, and three flaming, fill in the blank, a very negative word. Meanwhile, the New York Times said that the album is rated somewhere between Schopenhauer and Bob Dylan on the scale of being alien, of the alienation scale. Two other prominent poets of pessimism. It's just like,
wow.
It just seems as if everybody basically heard it as like a total bummer.
You're such a downer, man.
Pushed it away, you know.
They couldn't handle it.
Very odd. Well, in that sense, you know, basically, this song maybe falls into that category, though. It's called So Long, Marianne. And Cohen states that he wrote the song, quote, in two hotels. One was the Chelsea, and the other was the Penn Terminal Hotel. I remember Marianne Jensen, who was his girlfriend at the time, looking at my notebook, seeing this song, and asking, who'd you write this for? It ended up being called So Long, Marianne.
Oops.
Come over to the window, my little darling. I'd like to try to read your poem. I used to think I was some kind of before I let you take me home. Now so long, Marianne, it's time we began to lie and cry and cry and laugh about it all. Well, you know that I love to live with you, but you make me forget so very much. I forget to pray for the angels, and then the angels forget to pray for us. Ah, so long, Marianne. It's time that we began to laugh and cry. As we went kneeling through the dark. Oh, so long, Marianne. Time we began to laugh and cry and cry and laugh about it all. Your letters, they all say that you're beside me now. Then why do I feel alone? I'm standing on a ledge and your fine spider web is fastening my ankle to a stone. So long, Marianne. It's time that we began to laugh and cry and cry and laugh about it all again. For now I need your hidden love. I'm cold as a new razor blade. You left when I told you I was curious. I never said that I was brave. Oh, so long, Marianne. It's time that we began to laugh and cry and cry and laugh about it all. Oh, you are really such a pretty one. I see you've gone and changed your name again. And just when I climb this whole mountainside to wash my eyelids in the rain, oh, so long, Marianne. Time we began to laugh and cry and cry and laugh about it all.
Come on now, that's a real toe tapper.
It's definitely, it's an artful kiss off, you would say. And since we don't have a lot of time, I don't want to speak too much except to say that this next song probably flows from that quite well in terms of the layout of the album. It's called Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye.
I love you in the morning. Kisses deep and warm, your hair upon the pillow, like a sleepy golden star. Yes, many love before us. I know that we are not new in city and in forest. They smiled like me and you, but now it's come to distances, and both of us must try. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Hey, that's no way to say goodbye. I'm not looking for another as I wander in my time. Walk me to the corner, our steps will always rhyme. You know my love goes with you as your love stays with me. It's just the way it changes, like the shoreline and the sea. But let's not talk of love or chains and things we can't untie. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Hey, that's no way to say goodbye. I loved you in the morning, our kisses deep and warm. Your head on the pillow like a sleepy golden storm. Yes, many love before us. I know that we are not new in city and in forest. They smiled like me and you, but let's not talk of love or chains and things we can't untie. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Hey, that's no way to say goodbye.
That's one example, I suppose, of the touches that were added by producer John Simon, to which Leonard Cohen had some objection to what was happening with some of the background. I mean, I can understand why, though, John Simon would do it. I mean, nobody would accuse Leonard Cohen of having an overly expressive voice.
No.
You know, he tends to be monotonous might be a crude word. I don't mean to sound like I'm trying to insult him, but the fact of the matter is he sings almost like he would speak in so many, and he still does. Only his voice has grown even deeper as he's aged. But in its time, this was a record of somebody who was really singing in a lower register and staying in the lower register. And I'm sure that Simon was thinking that, we need to do something to basically—
to liven it up.
To bring some life to this, to add a touch of commerciality to it, which Cohen, in his own mind, felt that he had the right to object to, and which he did, by the way, get his way on subsequent albums. It's rather funny then to think that he would eventually end up recording with the King of Mono later on, meaning, of course, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Isn't that terrible? Please help me here.
Give me another clue.
He's in prison now for killing the woman in the doorway.
You mean the guy from The Sound of Wall?
Phil Spector. Thank you. Goodness. How could I forget Phil Spector? From The Sound of Wall.
I said that backwards speak.
While I dwell on that, I'll let Leonard sing the next track. This is called Stories of the Street.
Oh, this is hysterical.
The stories of the street are mine. The Spanish voices laugh. The Cadillacs go creeping now through the night and the poison gas. I lean from my windowsill in this old hotel I chose. Yes, one hand on my suicide, one hand on the road. I know you've heard it's over now, and war must surely come. The cities, they are broke in half, and the middle men are gone. But let me ask you one more time, oh children of the dust, all these hunters who are shrieking now, or do they speak for us? And where do all these highways go now we are free? Why are the armies marching still that were coming home to me? Oh, lady, with your legs so fine, oh, stranger at your wheel, you are locked into your suffering and your pleasures are the seal. The age of lust is giving birth, both the parents ask the nurse to tell them fairy tales on both sides of the glass. And now the infant with his cord is hauled in like a kite, and one eye filled with blueprints, one eye filled with night. Oh, come with me, my little one. We will find that farm and grow us grass and apples there and keep all the animals warm. And if by chance I wake at night and I ask you who I am, oh, take me to the slaughterhouse, I will wait there with the lamb. With one hand on a hexagram and one hand on a girl, I balance on a wishing well that all men call the world. We are so small between the stars, so large against the sky, and lost among the subway crowds, I try to catch your eye.
Black that black can go, are you a teacher of the heart? Soft, she answered no. I met a girl across the sea, her hair the gold that gold can be. Are you a teacher of the heart? Yes, but not for thee. I met a man who lost his mind in some lost place I had to find. Follow me, the wise man said, but he walked behind. I walked into a hospital where none was sick and none was well. When at night the nurses left, I could not walk at all. Morning came and then came noon, dinner time, a scalpel blade lay beside my silver spoon. Some girls wander by mistake into the mess that scalpels make. Are you the teachers of my heart? We teach old hearts to break. One morning I woke up alone, the hospital and the nurse is gone. Have I carved enough, my lord? Child, you are a bone. I ate and ate and ate, no, I did not miss a plate. Well, how much do these suppers cost? We'll take it out in hate. I spent my hatred every place, on every work, on every face. Someone gave me wishes and I wished for an embrace. Several girls embraced me then, I was embraced by men. Is my passion perfect? No, I'll do it once again. I was handsome, I was strong, I knew the words of every song. Did my singing please you? No, the words you sang were wrong. Whom I address, who takes down what I confess? Are you the teachers of my heart? We teach old hearts to rest. Oh, teachers, are my lessons done? I cannot do another one. They laughed and laughed and said, well, child, are your lessons done? Are your lessons done? Are your lessons done?
We spent so much time talking before, not, you know, just fooling around, that I can't come up with a proper summation at this point in time, because I desperately want to play the last track with the time that we have left. I will only say that I really hope you enjoy this album. If you didn't know it already, it's definitely worth looking up and getting into, as is really his entire catalog. This has been American Radio bringing you Leonard Cohen's debut album, The Songs of Leonard Cohen. And here's the last track from that album called One of Us Cannot Be Wrong. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll see you on Friday.
I lit a thin green candle to make you jealous of me. Room just filled up with mosquitoes. They heard that my body was free. Then I took the dust of a long sleepless night and I put it in your little shoe. And then I confessed that I tortured the dress that you wore for the world to look through. I showed my heart to the doctor. He said I'd just have to quit. Then he wrote himself a prescription, and your name was mentioned in it. Then he locked himself in a library shelf with the details of our honeymoon. And I hear from the nurse that he's gotten much worse and his practice is all in a ruin. I heard of a saint loved you, so I studied all night in his school. He taught that the duty of lovers is to tarnish the golden rule. And just when I was sure that his teachings were pure, he drowned himself in the pool. His body is gone, but back here on the lawn, his spirit continues to drool. An Eskimo showed me a movie he'd recently taken of you. The poor man could hardly stop shivering. His lips and his fingers were blue. I suppose that he froze when the wind took your clothes, and I guess he just never got warm. But you stand there so nice in your blizzard of ice. Oh, please let me come into the storm.